We are now going to be convening our delegates meeting.
Point of order. Just to clarify for everyone what's happened, we're time certain. The LSC meeting's over. We voted to eliminate a recess, and so we are convened as the delegates assembly. And there was going to be a statement from Lydia and Terry Goodman about the nature of the delegates assembly and how it differs from the LSC. So if we can please move to that with quiet, it would be helpful.
I'd like to call the delegates meeting to order.
Yeah.
We can stay, right?
We have that roll call, though.
Yes. We're going to start with our roll call. Thank you, everybody, who came to the local state board meeting and for your comments. You're welcome to stay for the delegates meeting.
Chuck Anderson.
Bella!
Stop!
He's here.
Chuck Anderson.
I'm the only one talking, Michael.
President.
Why are you attacking me?
I'm Kenny Ansara.
I'm the only one here.
Here.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Lindsay.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Lydia Persson.
Here.
Steve Brooks. Chris Condon, a requesting excuse absent. John Crumshow.
Present.
Ariana Gladney. Tej Graywall.
Present.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
Nancy Kazar. Fred Plunder.
Here.
Jim Lafferty.
Here.
Brenda Medina.
Present.
Dutch Merrick.
Present. Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
John Parker. Steve Pride.
Here.
Lawrence Reyes.
On a personal privilege, I have to go to the restroom.
Lawrence Reyes, Count Craig. Ron Spriestersbach.
Present.
Richard Vega.
Present.
John Wenger.
Present.
Lamont Yakey.
Excuse absence request. Witness Condon. Can we carry it over from the previous meeting?
So moved.
Is there any objection?
What?
There's only one excused absence request in Chris Condon. Is there any objection to...
Any
there
objection to what?
There is an
objection.
No, I have no objection to...
Okay, there is one objection.
Note for the record, Steve Brooks has arrived. You weren't here for the roll call, so your name wasn't.
Oh, yes, present.
Okay, we'll take a roll call vote. We'll take a vote. Okay. If you're in favor of excusing Chris Condon's request for an excused absence, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yes. If you are not in favor of excusing his request for an excused absence, please raise your hand.
Whose request for
Chris Condon.
I'm in favor of that.
Add that to our vote.
Okay, we have to redo this vote. If you are in favor of excusing his request for an excused absence, please raise your hand.
Point of information.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yes. Noes. 1, 2, 3. Three, four. Abstention? None. One abstention.
12, yes, 12, no, 4, abstain, 1.
The absence is excused. Okay, so we have a timekeeper. Okay, we are establishing a 90-second time limit. Unless otherwise noted.
I'm speaking.
Okay. That you guys are doing a presentation after the agenda approval? Or the
it's on the agenda.
Okay. Is it on the agenda? Okay. We need to approve the agenda, so for you. Brenda?
So I'd like to add that we have a presentation by Lydia and Terry Goodman to discuss, to explain what the delegate assembly does. Is anybody second?
Second.
Are there any objections?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. If you are in favor of the amendment to the agenda, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 yes. No. 1. Abstention. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Please, we have rules of decorum here. Can I count the abstentions one more time? Abstentions. 1, 2, 3, 4. Abstentions.
13, 1, 4.
Okay, so we will add that with Terry and Lydia to make a presentation on that. Michael?
I'd like to strike item 4, the election of the 2013 community director.
Use the mic, Mike.
Strike item 4, election of the 2013 community director.
Is there a second? Is there any objection? No objection? Okay, we'll strike item number 4. Ms. Kaufman?
I have something else.
For the agenda? Okay, go ahead.
Well, we're supposedly voting on bylaws amendments. Do we have a copy of the bylaws amendments so
yes.
People here, what, can we see them?
They're on the agenda.
Yeah, hand them out, please. Thank you. They're on the agenda.
Proposed Amendment 1, reduced by delegates.
Yeah, but there's more language, Judge.
Okay, excuse me, anything passed out? Are there any more amendments to the agenda at this time? Proposed amendments? Okay, if there's no other... Any other further amendments? Okay. Let's take a vote to approve the agenda. If there's no other... Are there any objections to approving the agenda as amended?
Hearing none.
Right. Hearing none. The agenda is approved. So, let's just wait a little while. Okay.
Is there a way you can send us this kind of stuff early so we can read it at home?
It's on the website.
Okay, there's no way of emailing this. Or letting us know that there it is from the office. So we have time to read and reflect and think.
Not actually.
So these bylaws amendments have been up on the website. It was mentioned beforehand. I'm sorry that there was no actual attachment. But if you go on to pacifica.org, and this is also for the listeners, I know we mentioned it before, you can go ahead and download each of the specific language as you see it in front of you.
Okay, thank you. But there was no math money. Oh, maybe there was. I'm missing it. It was going to come up today.
Maybe we can repeat it.
Yeah. Just, well, I'm lovely that I would appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Yes, we've been, as directors, I know I've been raising it at every meeting for the past few meetings. But anyway.
Okay. So, we need to approve.
We need to approve the minutes for two different meetings from January 26, 2015 and November 20th, 2015.
Obviously, I object to the November 20th minutes since that was a non-election.
I move to postpone the approval of minutes for both January and November.
Is there any objection? Seeing that, we will postpone the minutes approval. Our next is our presentation from Terry and Lydia.
Okay, so I'll start with the lawsuit, which is the genesis of the delegates assembly. And this was the most frequently asked question, especially for new members, is why isn't the LSB approving the bylaws? Why isn't the LSB the one that votes for directors and so forth? And so you have to go back to the lawsuits, because these were all as a result of the settlement of the lawsuit and the intervention by the Attorney General of California. So back in 1999, the lawsuit started at KPFK. It was the local advisory board. And the local advisory board recalled the director that it had initially voted to sit on the PMB, because the PMB was trying to change the bylaw so that it would be self-selecting. And so when the local advisory board elected its new member, the PMB refused to seat that new member. That was found to be, and we got standing in court, in violation of California Corporations Code for nonprofit organizations. That was the first suit, and then there was the listener suit and the director suit, because the kinds of things that were going on started with that, but mushroomed into other actions. So when the lawsuits were settled, and we met with the Attorney General, and I was one of the plaintiffs, by the way, the second plaintiff on that lawsuit. The Attorney General and the settlement of all of the parties and all of the attorneys, including Pacifica's attorneys, created a new interim board. The new interim board was composed of equal membership from each of the lawsuits, Pacifica as the defendant, and the three lawsuits, including the local advisory board lawsuit. When it came time to develop the bylaws, the one thing that was key was for the lab lawsuit, and Dave Adelson was our representative at the time, was that the PMB would never, ever have authority again about who is seated as its representative of the local station on the PMB. Consequently, the local station boards, the LSB, are a committee of the PMB over which the PMB has some authority, but not of the delegates.
Correct.
And so this was enshrined because of that lawsuit, as I said. So the two functions, because what the PMB tried to do and the crux of that lawsuit was A, not to seek the choice of the local board, and B, trying to change the bylaws to extend its own term. So those are the two functions of the delegate assembly. And that is why you adjourn the LSB, which is a committee of PMB, and then you convene the delegates assembly to do only two things. We're not charged to do anything else. But those two things, the PMB cannot override who would choose to be as directors and representatives on the PMB, and they cannot override what we do in relation to the bylaws, which, by the way, is why the order of the bylaws is the way that it is. It is not necessary for the PMB to vote first. The authority was given to members where the membership can have a petition, doesn't have to come from any other board,
and or the 3 hours business vote and the PMB. But that's the charge of the delegates assembly. And now Terry can see how it's been, can tell us how it's been applied throughout the year as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just pretty much describe the same thing in a little different way. Pacifica is a public benefit corporation chartered in the state of California, so it must follow the laws of the California Corporations Code and serve in the public interest. As a result of the lawsuits with the claims that the National Board was exceeding its authority, that's when Pacifica became a membership organization, which is a different type of corporation. In a membership corporation, ultimate authority is with the membership rather than with the board. So if you could get enough members together, they could replace the board, they could change the bylaws. So part of the bylaws that were newly adopted with this change to a membership organization was the scheduling of elections for delegates 2 out of every 3 years, with each election planned to replace half of the local delegates. So the delegates are the member-elected representatives who serve on behalf of the membership in the election of corporate directors. So the main job of the delegates who are elected by the membership is to, on behalf of the membership, choose new directors for the corporation each year. The bylaws specify requirements for the directors, and the bylaws limit the authority of the delegates to particular items. There are particular things which the delegates have authority and responsibility to do, and they have no other authority and responsibility. One of the authorities given to the elected delegates is that they are automatically seated on a local station board. That's one of the duties of office of a delegate. So when you have these elections, you're electing delegates. And because they're a delegate, they're on the local station board automatically. Also on the local station board is the general manager, who is not a delegate and has no right beyond the public's right to be at a delegate meeting. Also on the local station board in station areas that have associate stations, in Berkeley it's like KFCF. They have a person they elect to be on the KPFA local station board. They're not a delegate, they don't attend the delegate meeting. Okay. Part of this idea is because there is a section of the Pacifica bylaws that say all corporate authority resides with the national board, except those authorities specifically assigned in the bylaws to the delegates or the membership, which means that the bylaws say that this requires a membership vote, the national board cannot override that. If the bylaws say this requires a delegate's vote, the national board cannot override that. So the national board is exceeding its authority if it tries to tell local delegates how to do what the bylaws say is their job. So the national board cannot say, no, we don't like your choice of director. No, we don't agree with your decision on bylaws amendments. Now, they have made some votes that skirt legality in that area, and so it's a constant tension. But when you serve as delegates, your only responsibilities are those that are assigned to delegates in the bylaws, and you are not subservient to the Pacifica National Board in serving in that role. You are responsible to the membership.
Thank you.
Okay, let me start.
I would just say that there are probably other opinions and interpretations in this, and one should continue to seek for more information.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
Well, I would suggest the government to read in the bylaws, you know, I mean, that's the easiest way. We don't want no opinion. We want what? We want something that is written on paper, and it's there, and it's a law, and that regulates the life of the Pacifica Foundation, not opinion.
Yeah. We'll move to our next okay, proposed amendment number one. Just a quick message to the public. We do have a total of 7.5 minutes of public comment that we are going to split up between all of the different amendments that are being reviewed today. And so there will be public comment before the vote. It will be very brief because we have to split up that time, but there will be public comment for each vote. Okay, proposed amendment number one. I'll just like to read the summary of the amendment briefly. The summary of the amendment for proposed amendment number one, this amendment would reduce the size of the LSCs by one-third while keeping the proportions of staff versus listener representatives the same by electing 6 listener reps and 2 staff reps in each delegate election instead of 9 listeners and 3 staff in each election. The current delegates / LSC members would continue in their term. This is for any board member who would like to speak. Any TNB director.
Yeah, this is the same bylaw language that we had last year, and I believe this board didn't pass it, but we also considered it as the National Governance Committee. And the LSV members from the various stations concurred they did not want to see the local station boards reduced. We have legal opinions that you can do this without a membership vote, so I want to be clear about that. However, I personally think that it does affect member rights, and that even if it doesn't, that the members should be voting on whether there will be less seats for them to run. It stands to reason if there are less seats, you as a listener member will have less of a chance to get onto the board. And so therefore, I would oppose this particular composition. It's not that I necessarily, in theory, oppose any reduction of board sizes, but I do think that there are better ways to do that, whether it's in relation to the size of your membership. I can conceive a smaller station that only has 5,000 listeners or 6,000, which is true in a KPFT, that they may have a more difficult time finding venues with such a large board, etc. But regardless of how I feel, this is the one very definite prerogative of the listeners and of the membership and also of staff as to whether they want to see those seats trimmed. And anyway, so that's my position. So I will be advocating that you vote no on this.
I'm going to advocate
a
vote.
Can anyone call again?
Well, yes, but
no, I got you on those lists.
Okay. No, but did you want to speak in favor of it?
I advocated voting for this. These boards are too big. They totally
The size of this board.
Are you you're speaking for this? It was asked if you're speaking for this.
Yes, I'm speaking for it. I think decreasing the board sizes will create less factionalism. The size of these boards in itself, by all social psychologists, automatically creates factions. You have to get smaller when people can, are you turning it up or down? People can, too few people can speak in boards of this size. When the boards get smaller, more people feel enabled to speak up and voice their opinion. It's expensive to have these big boards here and on the national, and there's no point to having boards this big other than just chaos and confusion. I advocate voting yes for this.
If it's okay with the board, we'll take four speakers for each amendment. Okay.
Can we go pro-con? Or con,
I think about time for public comment.
Can we alternate support?
Yeah, we're doing two.
Yeah, we'll do two pros and two cons. So that was one pro.
On the next con.
Jim, you were next on the
staff. Yeah, I'll be very brief. I think there's merit to both sides on this one, actually. I understand that. On the other hand, what this whole governance system is supposedly about at KPFK is democratizing the station and having more participation from the listeners and from the people. The idea of shrinking the board, and the argument that Kim and others might make for that has some merit to it, but I think it's contrary to if we're going to have this kind of governance, then I don't think we ought to put it in the hands of a small number of people. The only other thing I would say about this is the experience we had in my own organization, the National Lawyers Guild. When we doubled and then finally tripled the size of our board, not only did we have more participation, we got three times more work done.
Next is Lauren. So is that
two pros and two cons? This is con. Right, want to go with the pro first?
Yeah, I think we have a pro idea what the alternate is.
Yeah, so we'll go with the pro.
Getting in the queue.
A pro from in favor.
Is there a pro?
No.
Jim's with a con.
I'll do a pro.
But we have John Winger. John Winger, are you in favor of the amendment?
No, I'm actually against it.
Okay.
On balance.
Okay, I would favor this because it seems to me that the arguments having to do with the workability of this type of board make more sense when we have a smaller number. That is, it makes it possible for us to work better in more cooperative groups. We can discover that when we work on committees. When we work on committees, it is better when we have a smaller group and a smaller number of people. And I think that not only that, it also has an economic consideration because we reduce it by one quarter. And by doing that, we end up with better representation because people are able to be more active and do things that are more beneficial for the bodies that they represent. So the proportions stay the same. We have a more manageable group. We have lower costs. So I would advocate voting in favor of this.
Thank you. And then we have one more con. And then we go to a vote. Lawrence is next on the panel.
Yeah, this is... disenfranchising motion. It would disenfranchise democracy that we had to fight for so long in Pacifica. Maybe a lot of you weren't around, but I was around, and we had a fight for the bylaws. There was a bylaws fight, there was a governance fight. So, and this is disenfranchising because stations with smaller memberships would obviously favor this because that would enfranchise them. That would empower them to get representatives on the board. But for stations that are a little larger, I'm one that studied groups. In graduate work, I studied groups. If you want to do therapy, then smaller groups are appropriate. But if you want to do governance, what needs to happen is that members need to get off their churches and get on committees and do some work and cross-factional lines. I mean, politics is good. It's a good, healthy thing. As long as we get to a consensus and we work together for the betterment of what the nation's taking is.
Thank you. We'll take 2 minutes for public comment at this time.
Wait, I thought I had a con.
I
know.
Yeah.
We really
need
two.
Then two cons, two
one.
Products.
No, you need to take one.
Go ahead, then.
I'm sorry, John. We already have enough cons. We already had two cons, and we had two in favor. So unless that we're done.
We have three.
Right.
It's two and two. So let's take public comment.
A different approach that the governance committee could have taken would be to recommend a bylaws amendment so that membership on the local station board is not automatically a duty of the delegate who is elected, but only a duty to the top vote-getting delegate. That way you would have a delegate assembly as large as it is now and representative of the listeners in the same way, but the top vote-getting delegates would then be seated on a smaller LFP.
We are at, we've got 30 seconds for each public comment.
Okay, Lance here again. So in biology, we know that the larger pool is the more stable pool. The more concentrated, the more chance for disease and dis-ease, right? So, okay, just look at it from a biological standpoint. I think that's what I had to say.
Fellow Titanic passengers, we must rearrange the chairs on this deck. The bylaws need a major overhaul. We've experimented now for more than 10 years. They're good and bad points. It was adopted originally by one single vote of one person, by one station, right here at KPFK. Issues need to be dealt with in terms of what's the purpose of this whole operation. How does it function? What does it accomplish? And only in those terms do you decide how many people. I think the number is almost irrelevant. The fact that it hasn't been very functional is a product of other issues in the number. So I'm neither for nor against it. I just think it's irrelevant.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is our last public comment for this amendment. We need one more amendment and then 2 minutes public comment.
This is the one that we should be voting yes or no on. It should be no. So I urge this body to vote yes. Is it yes or no?
Is
no. Vote no. Thank you.
Bigger
is always better.
I remember when the local advisory board was all white, and there was only one guy that pretended to be Latino with red hair. And when I asked him why was this lack of representation of the people of color, this white liberal woman said to me very frankly, Fernando, as long as we represent your interests, what should you be worried? So I said, why don't we, people of color, get you guys out and just push you out the door, and we just make sure we're going to represent you. Thank you very much. Thank you. We are missing some Asian faces, very, very limited. Where are, if we reduce the number, what are the chances that we're going to have here?
Thank you. We need to go to a vote. We have it on the next one.
Over here.
Here we go. If you are in favor, we're going to go to a vote. So if you are in favor, if you are in favor of reducing the size of the local station boards and delegates assemblies from 24 to 16, please raise your hand if you are in favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes. If you are opposed,
no.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Opposed? Abstention?
One abstention.
I just need to point out it has to be the majority of the full board.
Yes, 13.
Not the majority of those present.
13 required half.
Yeah, 13.
They're all 13 required.
Oh. No, is somebody not voting?
No, they're all accounted for.
They're all
no, I have my 20, right.
We have 20.
We have 6, 13. Oh,
vote.
You voted. Let's take 20. A vote again. If you are in...
Oh, me?
On order. You need 13 votes to pass something. You don't need 13 votes to defeat it.
That's correct. Thank you for that clarification.
13 or more? Or 13?
So the chair needs 13, to vote more.
You need at least 13 votes in favor of an amendment to pass.
The amendment failed?
Right.
What was the vote?
What was the vote?
Yeah, right.
6-13-1.
Come on, what's going on? Let's go, number two. I'm going down the hall. I can catch my breath for a second too. Thank you. Okay, the next amendment is each station's delegate assembly would elect three rather than four directors to the PNB.
The PNB would continue to elect the two affiliate directors. This would give a 5 times 3 plus 2, which is 17 directors. At-large directors, of which there are none, would be removed from the bylaws. In addition, to keep from having the staff representation increase more proportionally on the smaller PNB, and to allow each delegate assembly more flexibility in choosing who they feel are the best reps for their station for the PNB. This amendment would do away with having a specific number of staff and listener reps on the PNB. Okay, we'll take two pros, two cons.
Fred, are they pro or cons?
Okay, go ahead. Is there any other one who's in favor of this amendment? Okay.
Yeah, I think there are a number of reasons for being against. The one that comes most immediately to my mind is the issue of proportionality. The reality of the matter is that LA is infinitely bigger than some of these other entities. We serve a much larger constituency. Our representation should be proportional. So that key element at the very least is missing here. And I think it deserves a resounding no for that reason.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Cosman?
Well, additional to what I said before, I think it's odd that the other side is talking about the other ones about wanting more participation and disenfranchising people to cut this down. But then when it comes to lowering the quorum, you're all going to say, oh, no, no, that's a really good thing. So it's a little hypocritical, and I'm not in favor of decreasing the quorum. I want more participation and more representation on the board, but not chaos. These boards are big. The majority of the people here don't do anything other than show up maybe once a month. They don't sit on committees. There's no point for all these people who don't really participate in any of the committee work or doing any of the other work that is required. So there's no advantage to having bigger boards other than creating chaos.
Thank you. Our next class is Michael.
Yeah, briefly, I think this amendment would result in increasing the influence of the affiliates who are not elected by members of Pacifica. I think that it would decrease the diversity of the national board, which I think would be very detrimental to Pacifica. And I think it would serve to either over-represent or under-represent the staff. I think that the whether we like it or not, the agreement that created the local boards and the national boards must have a 3-to-1 ratio between listener and staff representation. I think that the two foundations and the base of membership in Pacifica is being part of the paid or unpaid staff. or being a listener sponsor, and I think we have to continue to reflect that. I think this actually would require a membership vote, in fact, and it's not a valid bylaw because it affects the possible representation of the National Board of staff members. For all those reasons, I would urge my colleagues to vote against it.
Thank you. And there was not another one? Public comment will take the 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
I guess it's an aside. There are five people who control this county, and Congress control three fifths of the real estate of LA County. LA County is bigger than probably 15 of our states in the country. I served for two of my concerns on the Acton Town Council, and we were monotheistic. Everything went through entendage, or it didn't happen. We need larger boards.
Yeah, so when it comes to representation, Kim Kaufman is not there. I was going to address her comment. Her rhetoric comment does not seem to be, does not represent the spirit of what we are trying to protect. And the spirit is that the boards as they sit right now are just enough. And what we need to do is elicit more participation from the board members and more cohesive work between board members. Once we reach that, I think we can get to the goal
of the Pacifica Foundation. Vote no.
Michael was right that one of the effects of this would be to increase the power of the affiliate directors. However, there are some characteristics of affiliate directors that should be noted. One, they tend to be general managers of their stations. And two, they tend to be female and or minority. Because if the delegates elect a non-diverse P&B, then the affiliate director thought that the only way that the P&B can restore the diversity on the national board would maybe require
for
two
people.
Thank you.
We have one more comment.
I went to the CAB last Saturday. This is my first attendance at your LSB, and I am really mystified. I haven't heard an idea presented about how to improve Pacifica. Nothing seems clear about what you're doing. All I've heard is about bylaws and governance, and quite honestly, I don't like it.
Okay.
Thank you, Rhett, for the public comment. We do.
The lady is so right.
We're
all done.
We have it.
To be continued.
We've got 4 minutes. We've got about eight minutes, so we're going to have to split it up. The other ones will be shorter. So we'll go to a vote. If you are in favor of reducing the size of the Pacifica National Board from 22 down to 17, if you are in favor of reducing it, please raise your hand.
If you support that amendment,
oh, I don't support it.
There are two in favor of reducing the size?
Yes.
Of the P&B?
Yes.
If you're opposed to reducing the size?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Abstention? 1, 2, 2.
Two, 14, two.
So the motion failed. I'm sorry, the amendment. The next one is Amendment 3, proposed Amendment 3. Which is to, this bylaw change brings meeting notice, bylaw language, into compliance with Section 39K4 of the Communications Act.
Any people for or against, I'll take a stack.
Are you for or against?
Three people just put their thumb up or their thumb down and you can pick them.
Sure. good thinking, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody in favor that would like to speak? You don't have to if you don't want to. Okay. So,
this was a section, and those who Bernie might remember, and others who were involved with the bylaws at the time, that took a lot of time passing it with a lot of attorneys, including our own Mr. Trigler. The specificity and the length and the various conditions in the original text were strongly vetted, very carefully vetted, so that membership meetings, which, by the way, membership meetings and membership ballots are very costly because we have 70,000 members, but we want to extend the rights to all of them, and we want to preserve, which this does, so that, that 1% can call a meeting. But the original text phrases it in such a way and with such care as it does the amendment process, so that things are not done frivolously, so that an outside entity cannot come in and just pay $25 and then take over the foundation by calling, you know, a frivolous membership meeting or a membership meeting to do us harm. So I think that my hats off to Carol Spooner, who was the crafter of this particular section back in the day. She and all the attorneys that were on the board at that time took great care to follow those steps, reducing it by a third and reducing all of the safeguards for that to happen while ensuring the rights of the membership. I think I will definitely vote no against on this amendment.
Well, no one's speaking in favor of it.
I have a point of information. So, how are we out of compliance? That's what I need to know. Are we out of compliance with 396K4, the Communications Act? And if we don't do this, then how do we get in compliance if we're not in compliance now?
There is nothing in its original formation that violates the Communications Act of CTB. It offers the opportunity for the entire membership to call a meeting, for 1% of the membership to call a meeting, and it takes great care with the notice to it. It ensures more notice than the proposed text. More in terms of CTB is always best. Now, I often will vote against unnecessary hurdles that then we can't comply with. But this is something we can comply with. We actually have never had in all the times of the bylaws 1% of the membership call the vote. So I do not believe that we... Well, I don't well, understand the question.
Let me clarify the question. It says here, bring the bylaws into compliance. So, you know, that's what I'm asking about. Are we out of compliance? And because the language says... implies that it says bring us into compliance, which implies we're not in compliance.
But yes, and I have not seen anything in the Communications Act to indicate that we are out of compliance by virtue of the original language.
Okay.
Just to restate the question, I agree with you with the way I read this. There's an inference that we're out of compliance, but nowhere in the body of this does it demonstrate where we're out of compliance. So I think it's intentional and misleading language.
Can the PMA members comment on this? Sure. So on the CPB website, if you look for the actual text, it says there's five specific areas where there has to be meeting requirements. One is that, so these requirements involve five specific areas. Meetings which must be open to the public, financial information who must be which must be available to the public, community advisory boards which must be established, and certain. And these are different requirements in order to get CPB funds. The one that's specific to this, to the section that they're referring to, is just making the meetings open to the public. So the actual amendment is misleading in its text because the bylaws already do that. That's all it states within CPB. So to answer your question.
Okay. Is there any
call the question.
And do we need any more pro, or are we ready to call the question?
I use Mr. Lassie's motion to call any question.
Okay, if you are in favor of the bylaw change that brings meeting notice bylaw language into compliance with section 396K4 of the Communications Act, if you are in favor, please raise your hand. Noes?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18,
Our next one is a bylaws amendment to reduce election quorum. The quick summary is the election extension granted to stations which fail to meet the 10% quorum requirement has proven to be costly to those stations and the network. Such extensions require extended payments to the local and national election supervisors, as well as the ballot counting firms. Therefore, seven directors of the board propose the following amendment. The proposed amended language changes the existing 10% to the proposed 5% for listener sponsor members, and the existing 1/4 to the proposed 20% of those staff members entitled to vote on the matter. And in the last sentence regarding a quorum for any action requiring the approval of members of each class, from the existing 10% to the proposed 5%.
Okay, so opposed? Second vote?
Did you call for the, she called for a crows on this one?
Crows on this one? Well,
I saw the video there, which was one of you were first. Okay.
So
I have here opposed. Opposed. I'm only getting two in favor.
Oh, no.
Opposed?
Opposed?
No. I'm for.
Anyone else? Opposed? So it's opposed comment. Okay.
So we'll start with the pro.
Sorry, let me time myself. Okay, so the reason why I'm in favor of reducing the elections quorum is simply for cost purposes. We at KPFK have not made quorum in this past year. We barely make quorum, usually as a result of extensions, which is another set of money that makes governance expensive within Pacifica. Now, 5%, I know, is reducing the quorum by half, but this doesn't mean that we shouldn't be equally encouraging people to participate in governance of KPFK and Pacifica as a whole. So it's not saying that we're limiting it to just 5%, but this would be a way in order to ensure that there's no more extensions, so we don't have to be paying one, a national election supervisor, a local election supervisor, and also taking up airtime, which is also, I consider to be money, in trying to get people to vote as a result of the extension. So that's one of the reasons why I'm favoring this amendment.
Point of information. Do you have speakers against this? Do you have two cons lined up?
No, I only have one.
I'd like to be with
you. Okay.
The first con is, so then we have
Well, the reason I'm opposed to this is because I think that we're talking about reducing the credibility of the station. If we have only 5% of the membership that can elect people, we're reducing the credibility of that election in terms of, take a general election for a politician. If it took 5% of the turnout, what kind of credibility does that election have? I mean, 10% is low enough. I think that the problem is getting people to vote. I mean, that's being more democratic, not reducing the amount of votes it takes to get elected. The real problem is getting people to vote, and there's a whole lot of reasons that that's problematic, that we need to fix that. But I think that we have even less credibility as elected people if we say, hey, I got in, you know, with 5%. That's just helpful.
Point of personal privilege.
The election for LA City, for mayor of the city of LA was 13%.
That's not good.
That's
an
ill certification.
Yeah. Oh, so somebody in favor, Dutch?
Having watched the elections carefully, having run and being involved as there are other elections occurring when I wasn't running, you could see it was a huge detriment to try to meet this minor marker of 10%. It really was. There's more people that vote on American Idol than they do for the President of the United States, much less Congress, than the state, than the city, than the mayor, than the dog catcher, and then the local station board. There's fewer and fewer people that will vote at each of those levels because they don't feel any need to. So it's harder and harder for us to actually come to an actual functional election. And what that results in us spending more and more money and dragging out an election that there's no reason it should be dragged out. More mailers, more paying for the election supervisor. And it grew in expense astronomically compared to what it should have been if we had just set the bar a little bit lower, because people are not going to participate in this era. We need to be able to get a marker that is reasonable and reachable. So I really urge voting for this to reduce the quorum.
Just a question to the chair or the vice chair. I mean, don't we lose credibility when we don't even make 10% of the quorum?
I admit I was initially split on this because I was extremely frustrated that we did not achieve quorum last time. But you know, upon reflection, I thought about it. The problem with this thing is that it reduces democracy. It focuses more and more power on the small number of voters, and there are better remedies. There are things we could do to, I mean, basically management needs to be forced to support the election. So if, for example, as an alternative, we simply said that for every week you don't get quorum, your salary goes down 5% for that month, and or you lost your job if you don't get quorum. We need that report. Management can get the votes because management controls the radio programming, and management did not do it. Management focused on the Obama election and the fundraisers for DAI and all of the central. And the archives, and did everything except focus on this election. Let's put the pressure on management. Let's put in some real sanctions, bylaws amendments if necessary. I think their salary should just go down as long as they don't have quorum.
That's right.
And that'll get it done. Let's focus on the solution, not something which is wrong. I actually favor direct democracy to having the listeners vote directly on these big issues, and that's a better solution. So I'm just going to vote no.
We'll take a minute and a half of public comment. So three speakers, 30 seconds each. Unless it's less.
I think our relationship to CPB is a contract relationship, and it has nothing to do with the 1934 Communications Act. Secondly, John speaks for me.
Since I want EM Masters out so that we can preserve our bylaws, so that we can preserve our integrity with our mission statement, this is very serious, staff folks. It's not just one man. It is the harm perpetrated by one person who is bought back by the global empire. And this is what we allow every day on our airwaves. So we need some introspection. What better to do that than right now before we start 2014? So let's work for that and vote yes.
Thank you.
As I said earlier, I think the bylaws need a major rethink and overhaul. That includes the election process. It's really faulty. No time to go into it. 30 seconds. I would oppose this particular motion in the present context. I don't think it's going to improve things, so that's not the problem. There are other problems that can be dealt with, even in the present bylaws, but basically we need to overhaul the bylaws, and we can't do it in 30 seconds, we can't do it in one meeting. We should come prepared after a number of sessions outside of meetings
time
reviewing all this before we do major overhaul, which we do need.
This has been out for months.